Afternoon, everyone. Came just a little bit late. I'm Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad you're here with us today. If this is your first time with us, you picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel because we're beginning a new series today entitled Forgotten God. We're going to be talking about for really the whole month of May, who is this third person of the Trinity that is called the Holy Spirit. You want to turn your Bibles to John 14. John 14. We're going to be looking at John 14, 15, and 16. We're going to pull some scriptures out of there to begin to kind of put the puzzle together to really get a clear picture of who the Holy Spirit is and really how He operates in our life. And I remember my wife and I, when we got married, we actually got married. Now, I encourage you as parents not to allow your children to do this. Pastor Ron and Nancy allowed me to marry their daughter when I was still in college, which they were crazy. They must have been drinking something or doing something because I would encourage parents never to allow your child to do that. But I was going to do my senior year of college. My wife was a nanny at the time, and so obviously we were making a lot of money. Yeah, right. We didn't have any money. We live in a small apartment. And the apartment we live in, I think, was great because it's great marriage counseling to live in a small apartment. Because if you get in an argument, you cannot go anywhere. You've got to figure it out. You got to work it out. The only place to go was the bathroom, and you didn't want to stay long there. And so we had to work things out. I encourage every young couple, get a small apartment. It will build a great foundation for your marriage. But we didn't have a lot of money. And so as I got out of school, got a good job, started making some money, and the first thing my wife really wanted to do was to upgrade our bedroom. One of the things she wanted to do was to get a nice bedroom, well, a bed, what do you call it, bed comforter. We had a dresser, we had a bed, but she wanted a really nice bed comforter. Now, what you have to understand, for me growing up, this was odd because I didn't make my bed growing up. I definitely didn't have a nice bed comforter. I mean, I had something, for me, a comforter was something you could actually use and sleep with, and it was comfortable. And it was cheap. But as I begin to go to the store, I begin to see that these comforters, Pastor Richard, Shannon, they're not very cheap. And in fact, the ones my wife really wanted was very expensive. And I begin to say, baby, I don't know about this. We might not be able to eat if we purchase this comforter. She said, we need to trust God. She pulled the God card on me. So I was like, all right, we'll purchase it. So we purchased the comforter. On the way home, I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't wait to use the comforter. I can't wait to sleep with it. It looks comfortable. But something happened when I walked in the bedroom that night. The comforter was nowhere to be seen. And I turned to my wife and I said, baby, where's the comforter? She said, no. We don't use the comforter. It's just for looks. I was like, just for looks? And I found out later on that there's a lot of things now in my home that are just for looks. There's plates. There's cups, they're just for looks. In fact, there are towels in my home that you can use if you come over as a guest, but I can't use. I just get to look at them and how comfortable they look. But what's interesting about that little weird story is this, that a lot of times, this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, for many of us, He's just for looks. See, the Holy Spirit is actually called, and we're going to see it, Jesus calls Him our comforter. But for some of us, maybe it's because we never heard of Him. Maybe we've heard of Him, but people kind of acted weird in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so we have distanced ourselves from Him. And He's out there, but I don't know much about Him. And He's just really for looks. See, this is why this series is a great series to be a part of. And I encourage you, the whole month of May, we're going to be talking about who this forgotten God is, the third person of the Trinity who is called the Holy Spirit. Again, many of us don't understand Him because maybe it was because we grew up in a church that didn't teach Him much about Him. Or maybe it's because you just didn't grow up in a church, and that's okay. I didn't grow up in a church much either. And I didn't know much about who is the Holy Spirit. So I had questions. Is the Holy Spirit really necessary? Really, is He even relevant for today? Do I need Him to follow Jesus, to fulfill God's plan for my life? Even saying those two words, Holy Spirit, are kind of weird. Because when we hear the word Spirit, We don't think of things that want to bless us and help us. We think of spooky things, things that want to harm us. See, a lot of you guys love to watch scary movies. I hate watching scary movies. Hate them. I'm trying to get fear out of me, not put fear into me. Therefore, I don't subject myself to those type of movies. Some people come to me and say, Pastor Les, I struggle with fear. Well, what are you watching? Man, I watch scary movies all the time. Stop watching them. You might not struggle with fear so much. But yet, that word spirit makes us think of spooky things, things that are harmful, things that might be weird. But what we're going to see is the Holy Spirit, He is not weird. He's not going to harm us. He's actually available to us to help us. What we see clearly from Scripture is this, that the Holy Spirit is from Jesus. Now, this is good for us to know, because Jesus is not going to give us something that's going to frighten us or to harm us. He's not going to give us something that is weird. He told His disciples over and over and over again, He said, I'm leaving. Now, He knew that discouraged them, but He would tell them, it's actually to your advantage that I go away, because when I go, someone who's going to come who's actually going to live in you. Let's look at this. John 16:7. He says this. He says, I tell you the truth. Is this to your advantage that I go away? For if I do not go away, the helper, that's key for us today, that word, helper. The helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the helper, to you. Jesus says in Acts 1:5, you look at it on screen. He says, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, this is good that we see that it's from Jesus, because really most of us here today would probably say, I trust Jesus. So much so that you probably have given your life over to Him. That shows that you trust Him. And even if you have not given your life to Him, if I were to come up to you and say, hey, can I pray for your children, if you have children, you would say, man, definitely, please pray for my children. So if we can trust Jesus with our life and with our children, then we can also trust Him with this gift He wants to give us, the Holy Spirit. This third person of the Trinity that we're going to see actually wants to come really and live with us and function in our lives. But many of us, again, the Holy Spirit is kind of like something that we don't use in our home. We look at it, it looks good. We may have some head knowledge about Him, but He's not functioning in our life. God does not just want you to know about Him. He wants you to encounter Him, to experience Him on a daily basis. And it happens as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, like any new relationship, it's always good to get someone who knows the person you want to be in relationship with to introduce you. This is why Jesus, we know Jesus, we love Jesus, we trust Jesus. This is why it's important that we look at who Jesus says the Holy Spirit is, because we trust Him. And if we can trust Jesus, then that means we can also trust the Holy Spirit, because He is the one that introduces us to Him. Now here, we got to be clear about this before we move on, because me standing up here talking about being in relationship with the third person of the Trinity, you can easily begin to think, so I have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, Lance, and God the Holy Spirit. So what you're saying is I have three separate relationships, and that is not what I'm saying. We serve what's called a triune or Trinitarian God. He's God the Father, He's God the Son, and He's God the Holy Spirit. We understand God the Father because that language is, we understand Father language. We understand God the Son because of Jesus, but God the Holy Spirit, again, it can be weird to us, but He is three, but yet one. And so as we try, now listen, I cannot completely, and you can never completely understand how the triune God really functions. If we try to explain Him, as we get too far out, we will get into heresy, which is what is unbiblical. Because He's God. That's why we can't understand Him completely. But here's how it kind of operates. For instance, I'll give you an example. For instance, when we pray to God through Jesus by the Spirit. So we pray to God through Jesus because what Jesus has done for us, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The unction to pray is not your own unction, something you're conjuring up by yourself. It's the Holy Spirit doing it in you. He's empowering you. You need to go to God. Anything that we do for God, anything we do to be with, is all empowered by the Spirit that lives on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit. Again, like any new relationship, we need to be introduced. So Jesus does this for us. In John 14, 16, he says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you, here's our word, a helper, to be with you forever. Even, here goes, he calls him the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, it's not talking about because we live in the world. It's talking about being you're not those who are not born again, but those who are can receive him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But look what Jesus says. He says, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, have you ever had a friend to come to you and say, hey, man, we need to go hang out with Jimmy. Or we need to hang out with Jill. Then you know Jimmy, you know Jill, and you're thinking to yourself, no, I don't know Jimmy. I don't know Jill. Who's that? Who are you talking about? I don't want to hang out with anybody I don't know. I'm sure this thought was running through the disciples' minds. Jesus is coming to them and saying, man, you know him. They're thinking, Jesus, have you? No, hold on. I don't know him. What are you talking about? Jesus understands what he's talking about, because what is Jesus is doing? He's actually pointing to, he's pointing to helping these men understand that, no, you have seen the Holy Spirit work. You've just been unaware of it. They knew the same Bible Old Testament stories that actually really did happen. They know them just like we know them. So he's reminding them, hey, you remember when David fought Goliath? What do you think was happening? Do you think God injected him with some testosterone and that's why he ran to the battle line? No, it was the Holy Spirit who came upon him, who empowered him to give him the boldness and the courage to run to the battle line and to sling that shot and hit that stone right in the middle of Goliath's head and destroy him. It wasn't something that David just came on him, and it was the Holy Spirit empowering him. You think about Elijah and Elisha, all the miracles they performed. It wasn't them, it was the Holy Spirit empowering them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the courage and the boldness to say, King, I am not going to bow down to this idol, even if you throw me in the fire. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit empowering. So this is why Jesus tells him, no, you know him. You've heard about him. But what's different for you and I today as New Testament believers is in the Old Testament, those examples I gave you, the Holy Spirit would come, but he would also go. He would ascend, but he also would leave. Because of the finished work of the cross, because of what Jesus has done for you and I, he doesn't just come and leave, baby. He comes to live, Jesus tells us right there. What does he say? He dwells with you and will be what? Not just around you, not just upon you. What does he say? He's in you. He lives on the inside of you. He takes up residence. It's supernatural. He comes to take up residence right here on the inside of you and I. See, Jesus knows the Holy Spirit sounds very mysterious to us. And so he tells us that he does what? He's our helper. We understand that word helper. The simple role and nature of the Holy Spirit, get this, is to help. I love that word help. Let's just say it. It sounds fun to say. Help. That's his role. His role is to simply help us. And the reason why Jesus tells them you know him is because they have seen and heard these stories before. But yet now he comes to live on the inside of you and I. What kind of help, though, does the Holy Spirit bring to you and I? Let's look at it here in John 14, 25 through 26. He says, these things, this is Jesus talking, we know it's him, it's written in red. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But here's our help, here's our word, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, here we go, teach you all things, and number two, he will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Let's look at John 15, 26. We see something else. But when the helper comes, whom I will send, Jesus is talking to us, to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. What does that simply mean? That means he is the one who guides us into all truth. It's how he helps us. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So we see here that he will teach us and he will bring remembrance to everything Jesus has said. That's good because Jesus has said a lot and it's hard to remember. The Holy Spirit remembers because he is Jesus dwelling on the inside of us. But he also guides us into all truth. That's great. Because what that means is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he frees us from the deception of the enemy. We don't have to walk around in the darkness. He clearly shows us, this is the way, walk there in it. Don't do this. Stay away from that. Don't be with that person. Stay away from him or her. He guides us into all truth. Now, many of us today would say, Pastor Lance, you know, I believe God speaks. But I'm just trying to figure out what in the world he's saying to me. I know he speaks, but what is he saying? It's good to know today that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the Father is saying. And he knows where to direct us. And he knows how to allow us to begin to hear what he is saying to us. Because many of us battle, is this my own thoughts? Is this the enemy trying to deceive me? Or is this really from God? Guess what? We have a friend. The Holy Spirit, our helper. He's going to help us today. He's going to help us know that we're hearing the right voice. You know, how does then my new friend, how does this God that we often forget about, how does he speak? How does he talk to us? Now, in my experience, and it's not just me, it's other men and women of God that I've spoken to, it's really not long, drawn-out phrases and sentences that God uses to speak to us. It's usually something very simple, very clear, and very concise. I think he does that, especially to me, because he knows, I can't tell Lance too much because he's going to forget. So I'm going to speak something that's very clear, something that's very concise, something that he's going to remember that's going to encourage him. For example, I remember when my buddy and I named Mike, we started this church 11 years ago. He was the lead pastor, and 7 years ago, I took over as lead pastor. He went to be at our church in Brentwood, and when I took over, I knew God wanted to do more with our facility. For those of us who have been with us a while, this only used to seat about 200 people. You guys, some of y'all remember that. If you're new, this only used to seat about 200 people. We didn't have our children's facility in the back. Everything was done from children's ministry to this, right here and here. So it was very cramped. We were growing. God was expanding us. But I knew we needed to do something. So my question to God was, God, what do you want us to do? You're growing us. We want to continue to grow. Will we sell this property? Do we go buy a new building? Do we buy a new piece of land? Do we expand where we're at? God, what do we do? And here's the one thing I heard God say to me over and over and over again. He said, whatever you do, do in faith. Whatever you do, do in faith. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't help at all. What in the world? Jesus, I'm asking you questions. I need answers. Whatever I do, do in faith. That's not an answer. But Jesus knows what he's talking about. Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear. See, Holy Spirit, what he was saying to me, he knew I needed more than some. See, I used to pray this prayer that was really unbiblical. I used to say, God, give me the blueprint for my life. As men were all guilty of this, every man in this room. We all want a recipe to follow. We all want instructions. We all want a blueprint. That's what we want with our wife especially. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it, please. The fact of the matter is, she's not a machine. She's not something you're trying to cook. She's a woman that has a heart that needs to be loved. She wants you to figure it out. Thank you, sir. No other man, amen me. God doesn't operate like that either. He doesn't operate by instructions and recipes. And so me ask, because if I get a blueprint, that means I don't need any faith at all. I know exactly what to do. See, it takes faith to follow Jesus. It takes faith. So he spoke to me, whatever you do, do in faith. Because what was he telling me? He was saying, Lance, you're my son. Whatever you do, I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless it. So whatever you do, do in faith. And that brought so much, because that's exactly what I needed to hear. I needed the spirit of faith to battle the difficulties and the fight and the struggles and all the things that we were going to face. See, this is how God speaks to us. Little small, simple, concise statements to give us the strength to get through whatever. And as we follow him and as we continue on, then we begin to figure it out. He says things like, I'm with you. I'm with you. says things like, you're going to live. You're not going to die. He says things like, I love you. I'm here for you. Just little small things. This is biblical. This is what he did all throughout the New Testament. He would tell his disciples, you're not going to die. You're going to live. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Don't worry about it. Do not fear. All these little simple things that they could carry with them. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a great story in 1 Kings 19 where there's a man named Elijah. Elijah was a man of God, but in 1 Kings 19, he's running. He's fearing for his life. He's afraid. And he's running because there's a woman after him named Jezebel. She's not after him to bless him. She's after him to destroy him because he's speaking against everything this woman represents. And he finds himself in a cave, and I love God because God comes to this guy named Elijah while he's in this cave, and he says, what, Elijah, what are you doing? Why are you here? I'm sure he's thinking, God, haven't you been watching? I'm the only one left. See, Elijah, he's complaining. He's really poor-mouthing. He's telling God he's the only one left, and he didn't have a clue that God has thousands of other people that know him, that are following him, that Elijah has no clue about. That's important for you and I. Listen. I know we're in this world and we're battling struggles, all the things with sexuality and morality and all these crazy stuff about what marriage is, what bathroom you can use. Listen to me. God is in control. There are things that we have no clue that he hasn't revealed to us that he has waiting. I'm just telling you. Elijah had no clue. He said there are, I think it's 7,000. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. 7,000 prophets, Elijah, you don't even have a clue about. 7,000. But Elijah, he's complaining. And God, he says, Elijah, go stand on this mountain. All of a sudden, this strong wind comes. Then after the following the wind comes this massive earthquake. Then this fire. But it's interesting that the Bible tells us that God was not into the wind. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. And he wasn't in the fire. But then there came a still, small voice or a whisper. There came a whisper, and Elijah began to get direction. I'm telling you, oftentimes, in the silence of your chaos, God's whisper is what you need the most. It's just a whisper. Just a whisper. Nobody else can hear but you. I'm there. You're going to make it. I got a plan for you. It's just a whisper. God's not up there yelling at us, screaming. He just whispers to us. I'm with you. And then as we walk this out, here's what happens. Well, Pastor Lance, is that all I get? No. As we begin to walk this out with him, obeying that whisper, encouraged by that whisper, then it becomes more clear about what he wants to do. Because what he's done is he's actually given us checkpoints or markers in our life so we can know for sure, man, I'm going the right direction. I'm hearing the right thing. What are those checkpoints? Well, first one is this word right here. Let me tell you something. God, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit never speaks outside of this. Never. Whatever he is saying to you will always come in line with this right here. He will never, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever say something that's outside of this. That's how cults are started. Never. Now, what that means is what? Then you need to do what with this? I tell you all the time. What do you need to do with your Bible? Thank you. Read your Bible. Guys, it's like, I read a stat today. It's like 28% of people only read their Bible 4 times a year. That's a low percentage. We need to up that. And just 4 times, Pastor Richard. Reading your Bible is vital. How do I know if it's the enemy? If it's does it line up with this word? The enemy will never speak according to this word. He's against this. And so as you read it, you begin to understand. Here, I understand it. Now listen, it's not just reading it. It's also obeying it. Because he's called the Holy Spirit. He's holy. So that means as I'm reading this and I'm obeying this, now I'm not talking about living perfect lives. I make mistakes. There's things I do. But I'm talking about blatant sin in my life. If I'm reading this Bible, if I'm obeying it, if I'm accountable to my brothers in Christ, if I'm living an open life, guess what? Then I can be confident and know for sure God is speaking to me. This is God because it lines up with him. Now, number 2 is simply this. How do I know? What's another marker in my life? Number two is he's given us others to confirm things in our life. If you're single today, he's given you pastors. He's given you friends that you can bounce things off. Hey, man, I feel like God's saying this. What do you think? Is this? Am I hearing God correctly? Is this from God? He gives you that. Now, if you're married, he's given you a spouse. Married folk, did you know that your spouse is one of the checkpoints that you have in your life? Let me get on the husbands just for a moment. Husbands, we don't take advantage of this. We just don't. We totally overlook that our wife, listen, I'm going to offend you, husband, just a second. I'm a husband too. So I'm stepping on my toes just like I'm stepping on yours. Your wife hears God better than you. Ladies, where's my amen? Come on. Amen. Just telling you. Ladies, you do. Men, your wife hears God. She has more discernment than you. She's more sensitive than you. That's how she's designed. And so you, as a man of God, need to turn to your wife and say, baby, what do you think? Because if you're making a decision, he will never, ever speak only to you, husband, and not to your wife. Now, he may speak to you first, and it may take a year or two. Hopefully not that long. It may take some time, but if it's of God, he will always, hear me, always speak to the both of you. Because your unity is more important than anything else that you do. You being unified. A lot of men get themselves in trouble because they make decisions based on what they think and they've never consulted their wife. And you end up, how did I get here? How do we get here, baby? She's looking at you and saying, it's your fault. We're here because of you. And she's right, because you never went to her. Listen, I know men that a lot of times on the job, maybe we can't completely talk to our wife about everything that we do, or maybe she doesn't understand the business that we're involved in. Well, some of that is maybe there are some things you can share with her to help her understand because she wants to know what's going on. Maybe not everything, I understand, but there are some things you can share. But at the end of the day, most of the decisions that we have to make involve relationships, and she is a lot better at you in how to handle relationships. They're just better. Women are better at relationships than men. And so she can help you. You need to say this. You don't need to say that. Hey, let's say this a little better. And I'm telling you, men, as you lean into your wife, I hear God more clearly when I talk to my wife than anything else. I'm telling you. It's interesting that the Bible tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. You would think, why does the Holy Spirit want to take me into the wilderness? He does so you can hear him. And for me, I'm smart. I drag my wife. Baby, if I'm going to the wilderness, you going with me. We're in a covenant relationship. We're one. And she does the same thing. No, you coming with me, Lamb. I don't want to go. No, you coming. Because we hear God. And number three is this. This is for all of us, whether we're single or whether we're married. Is God operates always. He always operates in lines of authority. What that means is that God has given you pastors. When you're a part of Bethel, you have a pastoral team. You have community group leaders. You have people that you can run things through and say, hey, man, am I hearing this right? What do you think about this? Like we can say, you know what, champ, I think you're hearing God. You know what, I don't know, let's continue to pray about this. But so many followers of Christ don't use this. Now listen, we're not going to come to you and say, hey, let me tell you what to do. That would be weird. We're not weird. You got to come to us and say, man, I'm dealing with this, Lance, or Richard, or Pastor Ron, or Pastor Travis, or a community group brother, whoever it may be. Hey, I'm dealing with this. Well, you know, what do you think about it? We're not here to tell you what to do. We're not here to say you must do this. We're here to say, well, man, this is what we sense. This is what we feel like the Word says about that. Ultimately, you have to make, does that make sense to you? This is how God operates. There's so much safety and so much protection in being involved in the church. You have God's Word. You have a friend. You have your spouse. Or if you're single, a friend. But you also have your pastors that are here for you. Nico, come on up, champ. See, as we surrender over to Jesus, we can now begin to hear the Holy Spirit like never before. He begins to guide us. He begins to lead us. He begins to speak to us. It's just saying, Lord, let me be in tune to that voice today. Drown out, Lord, my own thoughts. Drown out the work of the enemy. And allow me to hear those concise little phrases. Going to give me hope. Going to give me purpose. Going to keep me moving forward. And Lord, I'm going to figure out what you have for me. Well, how does that happen? Well, simply number one is we ask. See, according to the word, whenever you ask of the Father, he gives you. We ask and we receive. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me on the cross. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come live on the inside of me. Come and live right here. Thank you. You don't give me salvation and leave. No, you come to abide. You come to live. And then I begin to talk to him. I begin to ask him questions. Again, he's our helper. He's our comforter, our counselor. So I'll ask him. I'll say, Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to know about for me as a pastor of this church? Is there anything I need to know about this church? Is there anything about this community that you want to do? Is there anything that you're about to do that I need to know about so I can be involved in it? Lord, what about my family, my children? What about my wife? What about my friends, Lord? Is there anything I need to know? And we listen. Now, again, the answer might not come immediately. Sometimes it does take some time. And you begin to hear him. You begin to check it with your pastor. Check it with those that you trust. Say, am I hearing God? See, this is how we follow Jesus. We do it by faith, but we're guided by this third person that empowers us, who's called our helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Richard, why don't you come and stand to our feet. If you feel comfortable, let's just lift our hands right now. Let's just invite him to come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, today we might be here today and we've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. But thank you. You're opening up our mind to understand who you are, sir. Lord, maybe we've heard about him, but yet he's been like that bed comforter, Lord. We need something to look at. Lord, we're more. We want to experience you, sir. We don't want just head knowledge of you. We want to encounter you and experience you. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you. We say, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, tune us like a radio. Dial on a radio. Tune us into your voice today, Holy Spirit. And I pray that real friendship with you would grow starting today, that you would no longer be a forgotten God, that you would be the God who we hear clearly speaking to us. Lord, make yourself known in us. Give us an ear to hear you, Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.